Ready me? Should I just start? Wow, it's early. We never start early. Morning. Still got 2 minutes. I don't know what to do when I'm early. Welcome to Mount Perry Presbyterian Church. We welcome you in the name of our Lord this morning to worship. If you open your bulletins, you'll see we have a time to recognize our visitors here this morning. Over in the section over here, we've got people who have come to visit us from Vito Presbyterian Church, and so I would charge you to help make them feel welcome. The only announcement that I have this morning is to say that VBS was awesome, from my perspective at least. We got all of our...
I have my VBS shirt on underneath here,
so keeping the spirit. It's a good time. We had about close to 50, I think about 40, 46 on the peak day, 46 kids here. Really great time. Is Linda here? Would you like to give a more full report? My mic? I know it's a little bit late, but oh.
I would like for staff to stand up. Will you please, if you volunteered, would you please stand?
Oh, we're going to embarrass you all now.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you guys all. It was a great thing. And we had so many volunteers out there helping to make it just run smoothly and help support all the kids. It was wonderful. I really appreciated being able to be a part of that. The only other announcement that I have is to note that the Mount Perry scholarship applications are out. They should be on the back table there as you enter in. You can turn to the back of your bulletin for all of the rest of our announcements for this morning. Oh, that's right. This Tuesday is our bi-monthly community meal. We had quite a few more people coming last Tuesday. We got some extra people bringing food. We need pretty much everybody to bring food. We had, I think it was almost 150 last Tuesday. 102. It looked like an awful lot. We had 4, 8, 12, 16, I think 20 tables set up out there. The harvest hall was full. There was food out on the sides, in the kitchen, everywhere, and it was all gone by the time everybody left. So those Tuesday meals are continuing to draw a wider and wider audience, wider and wider group of people from our community that are coming together. And it's really awesome, but we really need every single person to be contributing and supporting to that ministry. Yes, Crystal.
It's not about giving away clothes. It's not about sitting down eating a meal. There's God is alive and well in Mount Perry. And I know that we ask an awful lot of you to donate to these meals twice a month. But the Holy Spirit works in that room. And it's growing, and we are discussing more and more ways to spread the gospel. And please, if you haven't been there, come, and you will understand. Thank you.
Yeah, I talk to people during the meal times who have no hope, literally. They live out in a roofless trailer with no electricity. There's a guy who I talk to who goes down to the creek every morning to bale water and comes up and heats it on the fire to bathe his children. There's just so many people there who have no hope for anything better in life. And they don't know God, and they're spiraling down. And, we want them to hear the good news. We want them to hear the gospel. And for them, sometimes that starts with a place where they can get a warm meal without any strings attached, that they can go and eat, and there's somebody who cares about them enough just to give them a meal when they don't always even know where the next meal is going to come from. So I'd invite you guys all to really come out, to bring some food, to bring yourselves, sit, talk to these people, share your lives with them. Would you please stand and join me in our call to worship? Printed in your bulletins. When Moses gathered the people of Israel, God said, "I, the Lord your God, brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." As we gather here today, let us worship the Lord, who continues to be our God, who still brings us out of the places of our bondage. Please join me in worshiping this morning hymn number 425 in your red hymnals, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee."
Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary.
as God calls us this morning to worship Him, we come and approach a God who is holy and who is completely sinless in His very being. We who come before Him are sinful people. We have offended and wronged our God, and we have hurt each other. And He calls us to come before Him to receive forgiveness and repentance, confessing to Him our sins and receiving from Him healing and forgiveness and strength to live differently in the future. Would you please pray with me as we pray the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin? Merciful God, You pardon all who truly repent and turn to You. We humbly confess our sins and ask Your mercy. We have not loved You with a pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with You, our God. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Restore to us the joy of Your salvation, and sustain us with Your bountiful Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please take a moment to pray and confess your sins quietly before the Lord? Please receive the assurance of pardon from John chapter 3, 16 to 17. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him, through Christ. We have forgiveness of sin and restoration and reconciliation with one another. In Christ you are forgiven. Would you please rise and stand with me? As we worship God together by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, I would like to invite a couple of our kids to come forward to receive the offering. Sure, Macy. Aiden, you're going to help this morning? All right. I'm going to stand right over there next to my Macy. Is Ruby able to help? All right. I'll go with him. Okay. You guys ready? Okay. We're going to walk up together. As we receive the offering this morning, God has given us abundantly and asks us to give back to him in faith, asking him to use our gifts and our offerings. We're going to wait on the inside here in the service of the gospel ministry in Perry County. You're going to get it. Here it comes. And you send it right back down this way. Good job. We teach our kids that from the beginning they are a part of our congregation and helping out. Here is one of the ways in which they participate in the life of our congregation. It goes in. Can you bring it all the way down to Miss Linda? Thank you. Great job, Aiden. You gotta go get it. Go ahead and get it for Mr. Jeff. Now this way. Thank you.
I got some money too.
You got some money too? Okay. Thank you. You pray with me? Eden, okay. We stay here and pray together. Dear God, we thank you. We thank you for the children. We thank you for the next generation that you are raising up under your name according to your promise. We pray that you would help us to use the gifts that you have given us to proclaim your gospel, to support those who you call us to love, and to proclaim your great deeds to the next generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Another. kids' sermon this morning. I think Nicole is going to be leading the kids in a song from our VBS for y'all to receive. I got my t-shirt, too. Ruby, can you stand up, my love, please? Stand up with all the kids, my love.
Can't discover me.
I don't know if you guys are all aware, but the motions that we do during the song are teaching the kids ASL, in American Sign Language, moves for Jesus, for work, and some of those other motions are the signs that they use in American Sign Language for the same words. So they're learning a little ASL while having a good time, too. Yeah. Yeah, you want to sit up here with me?
Daddy?
Yes, kiddo. Not for a whole nother year, my love.
The candy.
Well, we'll worry about that, okay?
The candy during the kids' sermon.
Yes, the candy for the kids' sermon. We'll worry about that. Oh, okay. Well, I'll take care of it. Don't worry, I won't forget it. Okay?
So. What happens if there's a birthday?
Oh, if there's no birthday, nobody gets candy? Oh, I guess you're out of luck. Okay. Let's listen to the Bible. So Jesus is talking to a man who comes to him and says that he knows that Jesus has come from God. And Jesus tells him that you need to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Now, I was talking with Ruby the other night about being born again as she was helping me to get the sermon ready. And I'm going to ask you guys the same question that I asked her. Can you be born again? No? Can you get born again? No? Well, that's what this guy said, too. He said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter another time to his mother to be born again? But Jesus says that you have to be born again. You have to be born from God to be able to see God's kingdom, to enter into God's kingdom. And the answer that Jesus teaches us has something to do with one of the things that we learned at camp. Now, I'm going to start off one of our memory verses, okay, and see if you guys can finish it. Faith is a gift of God. That's right. Faith is the gift of God. And Jesus teaches us that when we receive the gift of faith from God, that that is how we are born again. That's the way that we are born from God. So I have the little handouts for you guys. The words now, you said you knew somebody who had a birthday. Who is that somebody?
My grandma.
Your grandma. Here you go. Here's words for Jonathan. And whose birthday is it? When is it? Next week? Next Sunday? Leanne, that's not your grandma.
Really? I was wrong.
My mistake. Happy birthday. Oh, it looks like somebody accidentally maliciously destroyed it.
Oh.
Would you guys like first pick? We're going to back up for just a minute. Can we back up while see Miss Paul is going to take a picture. There we go. Thank you, Jonathan. Good job. Oh, don't forget your Cheerios. Are there any prayers or praises. Certainly VBS is a great praise. Any other prayers or praises this morning? Yes. All right. So I know that sometimes people on the edges have trouble hearing from the other edges. During VBS, we had a mission for the kids to help feed the hungry, not the bears. And so we collected money for the Heifer Project, which, if you're not familiar with that, is a mission society that helps to deliver farm animals to people in impoverished parts of either the country or the world where that animal can help to support the livelihood of a family. And so we raised, $157 for the Heifer Project, and then also 100 items of food that are going to be delivered to the Perry County Food Pantry, all from the kids. So it's a great way to help the community and to help to teach that at a young age of the kids to have awareness of the needs of the world around them. Any other prayers or praises? Yes. Leadership camp. Leadership camp. What is it called? Right? Right. Oh, like the Wright brothers. Okay, thank you. Wright State. Okay. Yes. All right. Are you unwell?
I'm fine.
You're fine.
I'm fine.
So.
With the grace of
God,
I am fine.
Already. All right. Anything else, John?
Merle Spicer.
Okay, can you spell that or write it?
M-Y-R-L.
M-Y-R-L Spicer.
Triple bypass Wednesday.
Okay, triple bypass.
Recovering
well. All right. And do people know the connection? No? Okay. One of your drivers. Okay. Anyone else? If you all from Vito have any prayers or praises, you're welcome to bring them. All right. Hearing no more, let us bring these to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for calling us your people and for inviting us to bring our prayers and our praises before you this morning. You've told us to seek your kingdom first, Lord, and all of these things that we are concerned about, you will handle and take care of for us. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for the provision, for all the money that was raised and the food collected to feed the hungry. Lord, in this world, we pray that you would help us, your people, to give not just food that perishes, Lord, but also the food that leads to eternal life. We pray for Jenna Wharton as she heads off to the Wright State Leadership Camp, that you would help equip her to be a leader, Lord, for the future, to lead with compassion and integrity and grace, Lord. We pray for John's driver, Merle, with a triple bypass, Lord. We pray for a recovery, for comfort for the family, for healing, and for your grace to his life. We pray for everyone, Lord, who is
unwell and sick, Lord. There's been a lot of sickness going around. Some of the kids who had to leave camp early and people who are feeling under the weather, Lord. We pray that you would be with them. Help us to not let these things get us down, Lord, but to turn to you for our strength in every moment. And now we pray as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, it was in the beginning, now forever shall be, world without end.
Thank you. You may be seated. Seem to have misplaced my Bible. There it is. The scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 3. You find the text printed on the back of your bulletins, or you may turn to your own Bibles.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. For the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Sorry. I grew up in a Catholic home. My parents were Catholic. My dad had been Lutheran and converted in order to get married to my mom. And we went to church on Easter, on Christmas, and occasionally I had to go on Easter and Christmas. I was encouraged strongly to go other times, and I went through the catechism classes that all the kids went through. And as soon as I was confirmed at sixth grade, I stopped going to church, having completed all my classwork. I had received all of the teaching that they gave me about who Jesus was, and had an understanding that he was this guy from long ago, and you know, that he said he was the Son of God, and I was supposed to worship him and things. But to me, it was just religious stuff. It was things that people said in a organization for old people who had nothing else to do with their lives. And so I went in my life until towards the end of my senior year of high school. And I had been struggling with depression and with a sense of worthlessness that I tried to address with different things and sports or games and different, you know, things that I tried to do to kind of anesthetize, to stifle and push down that feeling. And one night, something extraordinary happened. Who I thought Jesus was, what I had believed about Jesus up until that point, was changed very drastically. And Jesus, in this story with Nicodemus here, is challenging Nicodemus' assertion that he knows Jesus. Nicodemus comes to him in the night and starts off by saying,
to by talking about his faith, in a sense. He says to Jesus, well, we know that you must be a teacher from God, he being the leader of the Pharisees, the religious teachers. He says, we know you must be a teacher from God because no one can do these things you do. And Jesus, if you look at your text, challenges Nicodemus's assertion that he knows Jesus. He says that you cannot see the kingdom of God, who Jesus is and what he's doing, without being born again. And that word you might note in your Bibles, if you look in your Bibles, you might see a little asterisk next to the word again, because the Greek word that was written in can also mean from above. And so there's a little bit of a word play here, because Jesus is saying that you need to be born from above, and that is also being born again. Having been born once into this life, you need to be born again from above. I was talking with Ruby, as I said, and asking her, well, can this, she wanted to help me with the sermon. So we sat down, and I said, well, can we be born again? She said, no. Are you sure? I mean, you remember how your sister was born, right? Can you be born again that way? Said, no, no. And as you saw, the kids and Nicodemus here, and, you know, when I was an early Christian and encountered this text, I didn't understand it. I had the same reaction that Nicodemus has. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus, he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and what's born of spirit is spirit. Now we have this saying sometimes in life. Is this a little bit too loud? Okay. It feels loud to me. This saying in life, you reap what you sow. A lot of you guys are farmers. So you're probably familiar with this, that when you plant wheat, you don't get apples. When you plant corn, you don't get cows. Well, you might get cows that wander in, but they don't grow up out of the ground. What you reap, when you put corn in the ground, corn comes out. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus that you were born of people. You were born of flesh, of mortality. Your mortal parents got together and had you, and so you are of flesh. But that we need to be born of spirit, of God, of above, again. And Nicodemus, being very inquisitive, says, well, how can this be? Maybe he's inquisitive. Maybe he really doesn't believe Jesus. We're not sure. And so Jesus mentions, as he's going on, he talks about a couple different things. And I'm going to skip to the end of our passage, because he has all of these analogies of spirit, of water and spirit, the wind and these things that are building on each other. And I'm going to cut down to the last illustration he gives about the serpent in the wilderness. And we're going to talk about this story for a little bit. Now, I'm not going to read the text for you, but if you want to look it up later, it comes from the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. And it's a story about Israel wandering in the desert and the unbelief of Israel. Now, I want to ask you a question. Now, why was Israel wandering for 40 years in the desert? Did God give them bad directions? Did they get lost? What happened? They're disobedient. Did God bring them right to the promised land? Did he bring them to the promised land as he promised that he would do? He brought them there, and when he said, here's the promised land, here it is, did they go in and say, thank you, God, for this awesome promised land? It looks wonderful. No. They were terrified of the inhabitants, and they said to God, why have you brought us out here to die? We were better off in Egypt, in slavery, than to come out into the wilderness and to be killed by these horrible giants. And so, because of their unbelief, God said, okay, well, why don't you come wander in the desert for a little while? And I think it's sort of like a very, very, the longest time out ever. They were, you know, God said, all right, unbelief is a serious thing. Unbelief is a serious problem. It leads us to death. And so God is starting with a very severe time out for Israel to teach them about the evils and dangers of unbelief. And so they're wandering in the desert, and God provides for them the whole way. He provides water and food. Food miraculously appears out of the ground for them to eat. But every morning, they have just enough for the day. If God ever forgets about them or stops providing for them, they're out in the desert alone in a hostile territory, and they are afraid. They are afraid about God's faithfulness. And so now we get to this point here in our story where Israel has lost their faith again, even though they're still in timeout. And with Ruby, sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but when she's already in timeout and then is disobedient again in the middle of timeout, the consequence, it gets sort of escalated. Because timeout is her chance to show that she's learned her lesson. And this is Israel's chance to show that they understand and they believe God. But instead, they show they don't believe God. And so God says, okay, this is what you think of me. So here's some snakes. And he sends these snakes out among the people. And people start getting bitten. There's poisonous little asps and start biting people. And some people die. And so they recognize, they say, okay, oh, now we see, we get it, we've sinned. Please help us and stop us so we don't die. And as a parent, we know that when we discipline our kids, it's really to help them to understand, to see what they did, to see the choice that they made and how that's a problem. When Ruby was young, the very first time that I ever slapped her was when she was going for an electrical socket. And when she cried that first time after I slapped her hand, it was like a little piece of my father's heart was dying inside. And yet, for her to put her finger in an electrical socket would have been a million times worse. And so I gave her that painful slap. And Israel has a very painful slap of poisonous snakes that are wandering through their camp. And some of the people are dying. And so they pray to Moses to ask God to intercede and to get rid of the snakes. But instead, as when Moses prays to God, God says to Moses to make a model of a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. And when the people look at the snake, then they will not die. He doesn't send the snakes away. In fact, it says that after Moses made this snake, if anyone got bitten by a snake, that person could look at this model, at this figure that Moses made, and not die. So what's going on here? And again, remember that Jesus is telling this to Nicodemus to try to help him to believe. So as they're wandering through, what they ask is for the snakes to be sent away. And Ruby frequently says, you know, when she's in time, she's like, is time not over? Am I done yet? Right? She just wants to be on her way. But what I want for her is for her to learn to get it, to get the lesson. To trust me as a parent. And God wants the Israelites to trust him, to really trust him. And so this snake here requires a sense of faith because they could be tempted after being bitten to get down and try to cut their heels or cut their leg and suck the venom out. Has anyone here ever been bitten by a snake? No, I've never been bitten by a snake. I've seen sometimes the little ones, and those freak me out a little bit. I don't know what I would do if I saw, like, you know, a 9-foot rattlesnake or something slithering across my driveway. I'd probably call John. There's a lot of ways they could respond, and just turning and looking at a statue probably seemed like the least reasonable of the options. But this statue, I don't think it's a coincidence that it was in the shape of a serpent. It was in the shape of the punishment for sin that Israel had received. And as they're looking at this serpent, in faith, they're seeing their sin lifted up before God. When they recognize that they have sinned against God, and their eyes are opened to that, and they see their sin lifted up to God, even though they had already been bitten and were already, you know, when you've been bitten by a poisonous snake, your time is pretty limited. They looked up at their sin lifted up to God and lived. And in that moment of living and not dying, God brings faith to them. God teaches them to trust in Him. God provides for them the means of faith that they needed for Israel to live. They were saved from death, from the death of the snake bite, by looking in faith to that which God had given them. And so Jesus says now that we need to know, Nicodemus needs to know, and we need to know, that we're like the Israelites who were wandering in the desert. Now Nicodemus believes that he's a pretty good guy. He's a teacher of the law. He's a very religious guy. He was brought up in the synagogue, which is kind of like being brought up in the church. He knew his scriptures. He knew the Old Testament inside and out. And he was a teacher and respected. And he comes to Jesus to prove to Jesus his knowledge of who he knows Jesus to be. And Jesus says, "You don't get it. You don't get that you're just like those guys in the desert." Just as Israel had doubted and thought that God was not on their side, so we too, without being born from God, without being born again, grow up distrustful of God, not knowing Him, not knowing who He is, not knowing what His salvation is. And that we need to change what Israel needed in the desert is the same thing that we needed, which is to change our minds, to change our attitude of who God is. And the confession that we read this morning uses the word repent, which is what that means, to change our minds, to change our thoughts about God. That we need to see that we are like these Israelites who had been bitten. We need to see that we have been bitten by sins, by our own sins. We need to see that we are under the clock, if you will. You know, when you've been bitten by a poisonous snake, you have maybe a couple hours left. And though our lives here are longer than a couple hours, that death is imminent. And Jesus is teaching us and teaching Nicodemus that you need to recognize that that death is imminent, and you need to be born. You need a new life. You need a life that is not going to end in death. And Jesus shows Nicodemus that the way to receive that life is just like what happened with Israel in the desert. As Jesus is lifted up, that we see our sin lifted up before God. What do we see when we look at Jesus on the cross? Do we see somebody who was an innocent victim of a cruel society? The religious leaders saw somebody who blasphemed God and lied about who was punished rightly. The Romans saw some guy, maybe he was a good guy, maybe he was a man sent from God. But his time was up, and he had to be put down. Many people in our lives, in our churches even, in our society, definitely see Jesus as a good guy, a good teacher, a good moral teacher, someone who tells us what's right and wrong. And I knew, growing up as a kid, that Jesus taught me what was right and wrong. But up until that moment, I didn't care, because I didn't believe that I needed that help. I didn't know that my life was in danger. And Jesus says, when we look up and see our judgment, our punishment for sin on the cross, not Jesus dying, but our sin, when we see our death on that cross, that faith is what it is what it means to be born again. That faith that we receive is what it means to be born of God, to see ourselves as God sees us, dying and in need of life from Him. This is what happened to me that night. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't seeking Him. I didn't think I needed Him. And He came sort of crashing into my life around 11 o'clock at night. And I saw for the first time on the cross, I saw not some icon for old people, but I saw the one who gave His life to free me from my sin. I was convicted. I saw, wow, I have done a lot of wrong things. And that should be me up there, not Him. And God calls each and every one of us. Jesus says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so He calls each and every one of us, no matter how long we've been in church, whether we've never been to church, the people out there, the people in here, the people in every church throughout America and the world. It's not enough just to know what the Bible says. It's not enough to just come and sit on the bench. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And in Christ on the cross is the means that God gives you, is the way that God gives you to be born again. Let's pray. God, I thank You. I thank You that You sought me out when I was not looking for You. I thank You that You have brought people in Mount Perry to You. Lord, some here have grown up in the church, and some are here for the first time. Some have come back who have been wandering, lost out in the wilderness, Lord. Without You, we are all lost. I pray, Lord, that in my preaching, Lord, in our testimony, when we meet people on Tuesday and throughout the week, Lord, that You would give us the courage, Lord, and the boldness to proclaim You crucified for our sins, Lord, risen for our life. Help us to call people to look to You
for salvation and for life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite our elders to gather. One of the things that happens with a new pastor is I get to know you and you get to know me. The Lord's table is a time where we receive God's grace and we celebrate the unity that we have together in Christ. Now, I have invited all of you guys to share and be honest with me as I have been honest with you. And some people have commented that the change that we made in terms of the logistics of receiving communion has been hard for a variety of reasons, sometimes children related, but holding on to the elements. The purpose of that was for you and us to recognize the unity that we have together in Christ. But unfortunately, because of the circumstances, it ended up actually causing some people to feel separated and alienated from the rest of the congregation. So, for now, we're going to revert to the way that we had been doing it in the past, where you will each take and eat the bread and the wine as the plates are passed. And our elders are working to try to get some cup holders, holder things, mounted to the backs of the pews so that in the future we'll be able to eat and drink together. And those will be there to help you guys so that nobody will feel separated out because of the particular circumstances or hardships that the surrounding people may be bringing to you. So I really want us to really have that sense of the unity that we have and for our process not to push people away, but to invite them in to Christ. Just wanted to make that one announcement. I would invite you to turn now to your communion insert, which is in your bulletin. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Lord be with you. With joy, we praise you, gracious God, for you created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept a covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opens to us the way of everlasting life. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit to set apart this bread and this juice, that they may be for us the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, for Jesus Christ makes us one. May the peace of Christ be with you all. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when supper had ended, he took the cup. And again, giving thanks, he said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of the new covenant sealed in my blood. It has been shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. The bread
that we break is our sharing in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in the same loaf. The cup for which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The cup that we drink is our participation in the blood of Christ. At Mount Perry, we welcome to this table all baptized Christians who trust Jesus, who trust that Jesus was crucified and raised for your justification, for your righteousness, for all who repent of their sin and commit today and every day by his grace to humbly serve him as their Lord. If this does not describe you, if you are on the fence, if you're unsure about the claims that Jesus made, we are grateful that you have come here today, and we invite you to stay, to listen, to hear, to pray more about who Jesus is. But we would ask you, instead of receiving the elements here, to consider the prayer that's printed in your bulletin. As I mentioned, the elders will distribute the bread and then the cup, and you may partake of the elements at that time, and you can put the little cups back into the little slot that you took it from. Elders, would you rise? The body of Christ, the bread of heaven, which has been given for our life. body of Christ broken for you. It's the body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you, Crystal. The body of Christ broken for you, Pat. The blood of Jesus was shed for you and for me for the full forgiveness of our sins. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let's pray.
Lord God, you graciously feed us with the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received the sacrament today be strengthened in your service and our faith in you. For you have made us your own people by the death and the resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of your Spirit. We thank you for making us new. In Jesus Christ, amen. Would you please rise and sing with me hymn number 534 in your red hymnals, So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. So sweet to trust.
Before you receive the benediction, I'd like to share that life is still hard when we trust in Jesus, and sin is sometimes hard to shake off. If you would like prayer after the service for your faith in Christ or for your walk with Him, with the struggle against sin that all of us endure all our lives, myself, as well as the elders are available to pray for you. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Go in the faith the love of Jesus, trusting Him and Him alone for your salvation.